Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday. And today is the 15th day of August 2024. Before I introduce my guests today and the topic we are going to be addressing, I just want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. For the very first time, we are featuring as our keynote speaker, world-renowned author and conference speaker, and founder and president of the Ezra Institute, Joe Boot. And this is absolutely free of charge. Not only is admission free, and your time to hear what will no doubt be a powerful message from Dr. Joe Boot free, and your time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, fun, fellowship, and feasting, all free. On top of that, everybody in attendance receives a heavy sack of free brand-new books, personally selected by me, and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. This has been a free event since the 1990s when I began conducting them. These free pastors' luncheons are the brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie, who developed the concept and launched these luncheons with me in the 1990s. And after she went home to be with the Lord in 2010, I have been continuing to conduct them in loving memory of her and in tribute to her. And she always insisted that nothing ever be for sale at these pastors' luncheons, that there never be a hidden agenda or ulterior motive. So, therefore, nothing is ever for sale, and everything is always free. And I would love for you to join me at our next free pastor's luncheon. If you are a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to register to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give me your name, the name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you at this luncheon. And that's Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And it is featuring Dr. Joe Boot for the very first time as our keynote speaker. We look forward to seeing you there. Well, I'm thrilled to have two returning guests on the program. I can't believe that the last time I interviewed them, it was 2017, and I had my guests Holly Pivick and Doug Guyvett on the program. The last time they were on the program, they discussed a new apostolic reformation, a biblical response to a worldwide movement. And today, our subject is not too far afield of that. It will, in fact, involve that movement. Today, we are addressing their latest book, Counterfeit Kingdom, The Dangers of New Revelation, New Prophets, and New Age Practices in the Church. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And first, let me Welcome back, Holly Pivick. It's great to have you back on the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be back. Thanks for having us.
And let's hear something about the blog that you run.
Yeah, so at hollypivick.com, I've been writing articles and sharing articles, and Doug and I have written several articles together about the new Apostolic Reformation movement. And so there's a database of articles going back over 20 years. So if your listeners would like to learn more about NAR, have specific questions, they can search those articles and find a lot of information that I think will answer the questions and be very helpful to them.
Great. And we will be repeating that website for Holly's blog later on in the program. Now, Doug Guyvett, tell us something about your blog as well.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us on again. It has been a long time, and I was struck by that. It's amazing. My website is a WordPress blog website at Doug Guyvett. My last name is spelled G like George, E-I-V-E-T-T. .wordpress.com. And I publish a little bit more varied things than Holly does. Her website is an excellent resource for regular updates about the things that we'll be talking about today. My website less so, because I do quite a bit of work in Christian thought and Christian philosophy and Christian apologetics. And I don't write as often and publish there as often, but I do welcome people to visit. And sometimes when I have an article of my own to publish on NAR, it shows up there. But all those things are usually vetted by Holly, my colleague. We like to share with each other what we're working on, and so we help each other that way. Iron sharpening iron, you might say.
Amen. Well, let's begin with Holly, and then, of course, you can follow up after Holly answers the question. First of all, Holly, I think it would be wise for us to define New Apostolic Reformation.
Yes, the New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR, or NAR. People say that differently. This is a global movement, and it's led by men and women who claim to be apostles and prophets. They claim they have extraordinary authority to give new revelation that they would say the church requires, so that all wow. Christians, every Christian can learn to become a miracle worker, can prophesy, can heal the sick, can raise the dead. And the goal of this movement is to raise up this miracle working army for the end times that they say will bring God's physical kingdom to earth. And so it's really important, though, for people to realize these are not standard Pentecostal charismatic teachings. These go way beyond, because they promote these apostles and prophets that they would say have authority even to command angels or to control these societal institutions and to give new revelation for the global church. And so many Pentecostals and charismatics are very concerned about these teachings, because they're so extreme and they've been so damaging and have caused many churches to split, brought just division to families, and caused many people to shipwreck their faith. And also, it's important to realize that not all people know the term New Apostolic Reformation. So many people could be part of this movement and not know it by that name. And even many of the leaders of this movement will actually deny that they're part of this movement, because it's so controversial and they don't like to be associated with an extreme controversial movement. But that being said, the core teaching, if they believe that there's these authoritative apostles and prophets today that govern the church, then they're part of this movement, whether they know that label or accept that label.
And do you have anything to add, Doug?
Yeah, well, that's an excellent summary. Holly does such a good job of encapsulating that. Let me stress, in addition, that these apostles and prophets bring new revelation and governing authority. So they exercise an extraordinary degree of authority within the church, and people who come under their covering, as it is said, experience blessing and empowerment as a result of that kind of submission to their authority. And so while they may say that they don't wield a great deal of authority in a heavy-handed way, they do presume to speak for God with directions for individuals and for nations that are not discernible from the pages of Scripture.
Now, Holly, going back to you, you mentioned that this movement is not to be confused with more mainstream Pentecostal and charismatic churches. However, as you likely know, it's really difficult even to categorize a charismatic or Pentecostal church as typical, in my experience anyway, because there are very widely varying degrees of the inclusion of aberrant teachings and practices in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. As I was even mentioning to you before the program, I have very good friends. One of them is in heaven now, who are in mainline Pentecostal denominations. One was a bishop in the Assemblies of God on Long Island, Al Stein, who was killed in a tragic automobile accident a number of years ago. I have a friend who's retired from pastoral ministry, Jim Capo, who was in the Church of God Cleveland, Tennessee denomination. Both of these men became five-point Calvinists and were only a hair's breadth away from being cessationists. They did believe that the sign gifts were possible, but came to believe that most of what they have witnessed in charismatic and Pentecostal churches today is false. Then you have the ultimate extreme of those in the Word of Faith movement and the NAR movement, and you have every flavor in between. So it's not really that easy to determine, especially because you will have churches that deny labels that you apply to them when you're having a conversation with them. In fact, I had an acquaintance of mine strongly protest to my warning not long ago that there are many Pentecostals who will teach you that if you are sick, whether it is a flu or a very serious terminal disease, that if your faith is indeed strong enough, you will with certainty be healed. And he said, oh, no, that's the Word of Faith movement. And I said, well, it may be also Word of Faith, but that is something that I've definitely experienced in more reserved and conservative Pentecostal and charismatic churches that were not Word of Faith in other areas. So that's basically what I mean by it's harder to pinpoint and pigeonhole, isn't it, Holly?
Well, so the thing that separates New Apostolic Reformation from Pentecostal and charismatic teachings and really from all other beliefs is the idea that there are these governing offices of apostle and prophet. And so they would say that pastors, everyone else is supposed to submit to the offices of apostle and prophet. And these are formal offices in church government. Now, the Pentecostals and charismatics historically have rejected the idea that there are offices, governing offices of apostle and prophet for today. So there was a movement in the post-World War II era called the Lateran Movement, and they were trying to restore these offices of apostle and prophet, they would say. And the Assemblies of God denomination condemned those teachings. And so that kind of shut down the Lateran Movement. It went underground. And the Assemblies of God is the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world. And they've put out white papers saying, you know, we reject that there are these governing offices of apostle and prophet for today, along with some other NAR teachings that they put out position papers rejecting those as well, like dominionism. And so because of this, you know, many Pentecostal leaders and pastors have contacted us and have even endorsed our books, saying that they're very concerned about the idea that there are these governing offices of apostle and prophet for today. Charismatic leaders as well have endorsed our books and contacted us. So it's important to realize that Pentecostals and charismatics really lay heavy emphasis on the spiritual gifts like prophecy, but in a, and so they would say a prophet is someone who has a gift for prophesying in the church, but they don't believe they're authoritative. Or they would say that an apostle is maybe like a missionary who, or a church planner who's very gifted at what they do. But they would not say, like NAR leaders say, that apostles and prophets are formal offices in church government. They're hierarchical offices that, that pastors and everyone else must submit to. There's a big difference.
And Doug, does the New Apostolic Revolution teach that it has to be their apostles that are submitted to, not just any Pentecostal church who might call a pastor a an apostle?
Yeah, well, it's unclear how you become an apostle recognized within this movement. And I probably should comment on that term movement, because a movement is simply a social phenomenon that has influence in the culture. It could be a subsector of the culture. It could be within the church, but not around the world generally, or it could be both. But it's a movement because there are shared convictions about certain propositions, like the ones that Holly used to define NAR. These would be propositions concerning the authority of an apostle or a prophet holding an office. But there are other things that they teach as well. Having said that, there's no hierarchical organization that links them all together such that they subscribe to a set of core doctrines and, you know, articulate them in dramatic fashion in concert with each other. There are differences among them as well. And so I think that the term movement is really apt here because it is a socially influential cadre of individuals who agree on certain key things despite disagreements about some of the details and have influenced the church dramatically and really the world as well. Now, having said that, I would say I really was interested in what you were expressing there, Chris, because I do think that there is perhaps a large silent minority. Maybe it's a majority of people in the church today around the world who are reluctant to deny that God could or does still operate in all of the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament, but they are also equally reluctant to just believe every report of the operation of these things in the present time. And many are skeptical. They've seen, they're not sure what to believe when somebody says that they speak in tongues or that they have a healing ministry because of a spiritual gift they have, or that they receive revelation from God and function as prophets, especially when their prophets are not particularly reliable. That's a special problem that NAR prophets have. And then, of course, apostles as well. And so I think that we're living at a time when many Christians are cautious. They're not particularly convinced by a full effort to deny the operation of these supernatural giftings. And yet they might say, but I've never been convinced by any phenomena that I've observed myself that they're actually operating today. And so they're in this position of seeming to be continuationists, but having no empirical evidence to convince them that they are indeed happening. So there's an open-mindedness and a kind of a resistance to certain arguments from Scripture and history against their continuation. But that doesn't mean that all those people who find that not fully convincing are fully convinced that when they see these gifts in operation, that's what they really are. Unfortunately, we don't have recordings of St. Paul speaking in tongues, you know, in the first century. We don't know what it sounded like, but people who speak in tongues today probably believe it sounded a lot like what they've experienced and observed. But that's really an interesting open question. And so I think I want to be sensitive to that. I want to be sensitive to those who look to scriptures and to the history and see strong evidence of cessation. And I want to be sensitive to all those who think that they've witnessed examples. Holly and I recently spoke at a conference where we were hearing from a group of immigrants from Eastern Europe who said that they knew of cases where people were able to speak. They were Russian language native speakers who were able to speak a language while presenting the gospel, doing evangelism, that they had not learned, and it was spontaneously available to them to do that. I've heard testimonies to that effect. I've never seen it done myself, but could God do it? Well, I don't know if I want to be the one who says, no, that's not possible, but it does seem to track more closely with what I think is going on in the book of Acts, certainly in the first chapter, the second chapter, I should say, regarding the use of a special endowment by the Holy Spirit to help spread the gospel to people who've not heard it before in a language that they would understand. So what I'm trying to say here is that I think we've got a whole range of perspectives, and yet despite all that breadth and variety where people disagree, the Norfolk have gone way past the line, and they arrogate to themselves a kind of authority that cannot be established from Scripture, and any attempt to clarify and define it very precisely suggests that they've invented a category of apostle, they've invented a category of prophet that nowhere appears in Scripture, whether it's the New Testament or the Old Testament.
And before I go back to Holly, I just wanted to have you, Doug, clarify something. You just said moments ago that you don't want to you didn't use this phrase, but the often used phrase is, I don't want to put God in a box. I'm not going to declare that God never gives a Christian the gift to speak a foreign language that he never learned normally. Having said that, would you agree with me that what seems to be a miracle is not the final criteria to deem something as being from God? Because nearly every false religion has antidotal evidences or stories of their own miracles that occur. There are even branches of Islam that talk about such things, and we have all kinds of cults within the spectrum of false religions that identify as Christian, who say that they, you know, have experienced or witnessed miracles. And we even know from our God-breathed inerrant scriptures that false miracles will occur. We are warned about them. So
yes, we are.
So aren't we not to take an apparent, because it may not be a genuine miracle from God, what it is an apparent miracle as something that is our litmus test from being from God himself. And another example would be, I know Roman Catholics personally. I'm a former Roman Catholic. I was saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ in the 1980s, and I am a Reformed Baptist today. A thoroughly Calvinistic Baptist. And I have had conversations with Roman Catholics, especially those that have attended live public moderated debates that I have hosted over the past decades, starting in 1996, actually. I've had Roman Catholics during breaks or afterwards tell me, I am convinced that the Roman Catholic Church is the true church because I absolutely believe in, and it could be Fatima, it could be Medjugorje, it could be any of the famous apparitions of Mary, so-called. And that is their criteria, their basis for solidifying that the Roman Catholic Church is true. And I have to remind them about these other false miracles that false religions boast of. So anything to add to that before I go back to Holly?
Well, yeah, there's a lot to say about that. I want to mention another category of so-called miracle here just to illustrate your point, Chris, and in my agreement with it. Today, I'm seeing within the evangelical apologetics community a growing interest in near-death experiences as evidence for Christian belief. And I'm very suspicious about that. I've thought about it quite a bit. I've read extensively in the literature and even the books that are cited as the best support for this sort of thing. And I'm not convinced that we should be turning to this sort of phenomenon as evidence. And one reason for that, but not by any means the only reason, is that there are people with other religious traditions or no tradition at all, religiously speaking, who report near-death experiences, and the character of their experience often differs dramatically from the ones that Christian apologists are inclined to welcome in support of the Christian biblical worldview. So it just goes to show that if you're going to admit that kind of evidence, you're going to have to admit it across the board and have things to say in response to people who come to different conclusions about what the religious, what religious truth is, what spiritual truth is in light of that evidence. A second point I want to make is that the let's take Bethel Church, for example, in Redding, California. It's a great center of activity in NAR. They have an apostle in the person of Bill Johnson. They have a prophet in the person of Chris Vallotton and others underneath them, and they activate people in the gifts of miracles, prophecy, and the like. And we've written extensively about this in our book, Counterfeit Kingdom. They are a special focus of that book and a more recent book that we wrote called Reckless Christianity. And I want to say about them that many people will tell us, you know, I'm interested in what's going on at Bethel Church in Redding, California. I hear so many amazing reports. I may disagree with certain things that they teach, but God is clearly doing a work there. And what they're referring to is the narrative of the miraculous that is supposed to be happening virtually round the clock at this center of NAR activity. Now, I think that a lot of those claims are specious. I don't even think that miracles are happening with the anything close to the regularity that they're describing. I don't believe that people are being activated in the prophetic. I don't believe it. And that's partly on the strength of the evidence that we cite in our books. But here's the thing. If you disagree with things that they teach, but you're moved by the phenomena that's experiential and subjective concerning the supernatural, then I think you've got it backwards. And the thing you have to do is you've got to test the teachings against the Word of God as objectively as you possibly can. That means that these are the scriptures written for our instruction that have survived the passage of time for 2,000 years and have come down to us pretty much as they were originally inscribed, you know, in the first century. And this is our primary authority. And I think it's a hallmark of your ministry, Chris, that the sufficiency of Scripture must be a conviction that we wield with confidence when we're weighing movements like this. And that means that we've got to start with what they teach. And so if the apostles and prophets, the pastors of these churches, are abusing Scripture and they're not responsible in their interpretation of Scripture, or they bring subjective interpretations out of their own experience with the Holy Spirit and prophecy, let's say, in understanding Scripture, then whatever they call the miraculous that's going on in their midst probably should not be trusted. And if you think that there's a miracle that God has in store for you, you probably shouldn't be seeking it at a place like Bethel Church or any of these NAR-related organizations. And there's nothing wrong with praying and seeking God for wholeness, physically, mentally, or what have you, and other miracles. He welcomes our requests, and he wants us to ask for things. I think there are things that we won't receive unless we ask for them. But he doesn't guarantee our reception of every gift we ask for. And that's good, because we don't have his wisdom, and we might well ask for things that are really going to foul things up for ourselves and maybe other people that we would never realize. But the point just is that we shouldn't be drawn to through by the lure of the miraculous or just reports of the miraculous. Most of this is just a mythology and a narrative that has spread throughout the culture, and people just get on board and believe it, and then they start flocking to the church, and pretty soon they're praying prayer declarations and doing everything just like they do in the NAR movement. And that's getting it backwards. You need to evaluate the movement in terms of what it expressly teaches. You can use the scriptures for doing that and do it confidently. And then you can set the miracle claims aside if they don't pass those initial tests.
And when we return from our first commercial break, we'll start off with Holly's comments. And if you have a question of your own, submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a church that has adopted the beliefs and practice of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. We understand things like that. You might want to remain anonymous if you're critiquing your own church. If it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com. making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they automatically every month provide for us financial support, they, on top of that, are giving us this enormous, mind-blowing bonus. They are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener saying, I heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's all you have to do, and we get 100% of the profits from that sale, whether it's a gift for someone you love or a gift to yourself, whether you are purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or whether you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring or like taking your church logo, parachurch ministry logo, seminary logo, denomination logo, business logo, and you're turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring. Whatever the case may be, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We will get 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. Please go to royaldiadem.com today. Even if you're not making your final purchase of jewelry today, go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase. And the reason for the urgency is we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. So go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my guest, Holly Pivick, blogger, author, speaker, and the pastor's wife and homeschooling mom, with a master's degree in apologetics from Biola University, where she served as university editor for nearly a decade, and Doug Guyvett, an author, speaker, professor emeritus of philosophy at Biola University, and former president of the Evangelical Philosophical Society, and they are addressing their new book, Counterfeit Kingdom, The Dangers of New Revelation, New Prophets, and New Age Practices in the Church. And let's see, we have Dale, who has a question for you, and I'll start with Holly with this question. We have Dale in Medical Lake, Washington. I don't think I would ever go swimming in a lake called Medical Lake, but Dale wants to know, what is the difference between your original book, The Apostolic Reformation, that came out a decade ago, and this new book of yours?
Hi, Gail. That's a great question. So our first book, A New Apostolic Reformation, A Biblical Response to a Worldwide Movement, provides an overview of NAR teachings, the theology. It also documents the global influence of this movement. And so that was our first book. At the same time, we had a second smaller book come out called God's Super Apostles that kind of took that book and condensed it and added some anecdotes and things like that to make it an easier read, basically a quicker read. Then Counterfeit Kingdom came out. That's the book we're talking about today. And Counterfeit Kingdom really focuses on the practices of this movement. It's really, so whereas A New Apostolic Reformation focused more on the theology of the movement, Counterfeit Kingdom talks about theology, but it really talks about where the rubber really meets the road as far as how are NAR teachings infiltrating churches and ministries and organizations? How can you spot it? How is it showing up? How is it, sneaking into these churches? And so we talk about things like prayer declarations and grave soaking and the curriculum that's being used in Sunday school classes. Church camps are using. We talk a lot about the music. We have a whole chapter on how some of the most popular music, a lot of the most popular music we use today in churches, even churches that are not NAR at all. We're just talking about more traditional churches or non-denominational churches or all kinds of churches are using Bethel music and Hillsong and Gateway music and music coming from churches that are heavily influenced by NAR and are taking the teachings, the NAR theology, and putting it into the lyrics of the music. And because of that, a lot of people are being drawn into the NAR movement through the music. And we also talk a lot in Counterfeit Kingdom just about the way we share a lot of stories about how people have been damaged by NAR, about children who have cut up, adult children who have cut off contact with their families, won't communicate with them anymore after getting involved with a NAR church or organization. We share a lot of just sad stories of people who've experienced spiritual abuse in NAR churches under the leadership of apostles and prophets. And so that's the difference. Counterfeit Kingdom really focuses on the stories and the practices that are infiltrating churches. And then our latest book, Reckless Christianity, we have four books. Our latest book, Reckless Christianity, really just focuses in depth on the teachings of Bethel Church in Redding, California, because it is the most influential church in the world today that's promoting these NAR teachings. So it takes a deep dive into the theology of Bethel Church and Bill Johnson, its apostle.
Has anybody, I know that this term is outdated, but has anybody used the term to describe people who have been influenced by the New Apostolic Reformation? Have they been described as gnarly?
Yes.
They have?
I've heard that
they have?
Term used.
I did. I thought that I invented that just now.
Well, I've been calling, privately, I've been calling them gnarlies with Holly for several years. but sometimes it slips out, and you know, when I'm not on my best behavior, I let things slip out like that. Hey, I was going to tell Gail, you know, a shout out to Medical Lake there. My wife's from Spokane, Washington, and we know the area. We have a lot of friends up there. We spend a lot of time there ourselves. Thank you, Gail, for your interest in our books.
Great. And by the way, I have a very bizarre quick story about Bethel Church. There, I'm not going to mention the person's name. Very famous young man who passed away from cancer. It's probably going on close to 8 years now. It might be longer. Time flies so quickly when you're 62 years old. But this young man did not come from a Pentecostal background and was not originally associated with Bethel Church. But during the months that he was dying of cancer, he began to visit Bethel Church and was heavily influenced by them, and never got the healing that he sought and went home to be with the Lord. And his closest friend, who is also a friend of mine, who actually led this person to Christ, he knows this as a fact because he was there. At this person's funeral, his wife showed up with a packed suitcase for her husband because she was certain he was going to raise from the dead.
And yeah, you know, we share another story like that in Counterfeit Kingdom. That's actually more common than people may realize within the New Apostolic Reformation movement. People that are, you know, in fact, Bethel Church in Reading, in December 2019, a little toddler, the daughter of one of their worship leaders, passed away. And so Bethel Church, you know, requested that their followers worldwide would join them in declaring a resurrection for this little girl. And it was picked up by national media. And for like 6 days, they were making prayer declarations, which is where they believe their words have the authority to create reality. They were making prayer declarations that she would come out of that grave in Jesus' name. They were chanting and then after the fact, you know, when she was, the resurrection didn't occur, they released a press release to the media and they recharacterized what they did. They made it sound like, well, we're just Christians. We were praying. We were asking God, will you please raise this girl from the dead, and, you know, leaving it to his decision. But that's not really what they were doing. They were very clear at the time that they were making declarations that she would come out of that grave. And that's one thing people need to be aware of with this movement and the New Apostolic Reformation. They intentionally equivocate on terms. And so they'll talk about something like prayer, and knowing that most Christians will think of prayer as making humble requests of God and leaving the outcome to his will, you know, whether he'll answer that prayer or not. But when they're talking about prayer, they're very often talking about prayer declarations, and that's like word of faith teachings, that their words have the power to create reality by speaking them as children of God. But then when they go into a church that's not NAR, or when they're around Christians that are not NAR, they'll use the term prayer, and knowing that people will think they're understanding prayer in a biblical sense and not in the NAR sense of the term. And so this is one way that NAR teachings have really been able to infiltrate a lot of churches, and unsuspecting Christians get exposed and drawn into NAR is they equivocate on terms. Another term they equivocate on is apostle, because they are talking about authoritative apostles that govern the church. But if they go into like a Pentecostal church where they're talking about apostles as missionaries and church planners, they can you know, you equivocate on that term and kind of sneak their teachings into like a Pentecostal church, and the people won't be aware. And so this is a tactic that's frequently used in this movement.
Oh, so they come into other Pentecost, more mainstream Pentecostal churches by stealth and try to secretly influence the people to convert to their understanding. In fact, I don't know how much it happens today, but decades ago, I can recall Pentecostal pastors complaining and warning their people that Oneness Pentecostals, anti-Trinitarians, would by stealth come into the churches, the Trinitarian Pentecostal churches, and try to undermine the teaching of the leaders and convince them of modalism, the teaching on what we believe are the three persons of the Trinity, the distorted teaching of God basically switching identities. But so I'm assuming that's the same kind of thing that's happening.
Yeah, there's absolutely a concerted effort among leaders of this movement to take their NAR teachings and mainstream them and go into Pentecostal and Charismatic and other churches as well. And they want to normalize what they call fivefold ministry. That's the NAR doctrine, that there are five offices that are supposed to govern the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So they take Ephesians 4:11 that talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, rip it out of context and use that to say, well, this is a verse that the Bible says that shows that apostles and prophets are supposed to govern the church along with the other three offices. And so they're trying to mainstream this fivefold ministry teaching and bring it into other churches like Pentecostal and Charismatic churches, and convince Pentecostals and Charismatics that this has always been standard Charismatic doctrine when it hasn't been. It was really something that was developed during the Latter Rain movement and popularized then. But now they're trying to convince them that it's always been part of Charismatic teaching. And unfortunately, many Pentecostals and Charismatics who aren't aware of this are falling for that, and they don't realize it.
By the way, I don't think I mentioned to Dale in Medical Lake, Washington, you have won a free copy of Counterfeit Kingdom, The Dangers of New Revelation, New Prophets, and New Age Practices in the Church by my guests today, Holly Pivick and Doug Guyvett. Compliments of our friends at B&H Publishing. And that will be mailed to you by my friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. So please make sure that we have your full mailing address in Medical Lake, Washington. And I hope you weren't insulted by my joke. And when we come back, we're going to hear a question from Neville in La Vista, Nebraska. And if anybody else wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com and give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please be patient with us, folks, because the middle break is always a little longer than the other breaks, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, that airs this program every day, they are required by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they announce in the middle of our show. They do that on their end, while we simultaneously, on our end, air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Try to respond to as many of our advertisers as you possibly can, knowing that the funding that comes through these ad campaigns are what keeps Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Please never forget that. And we look forward to receiving your questions as well for our guests. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight two books available through solid-ground-books.com that I think perfectly reflect our conversation today. The first one is The Believer's Experience, Maintaining the Scriptural Balance Between Experience and Truth, by the late Errol Holes, a very well-known and beloved Reformed Baptist in Leeds, England, who is now with the Lord in eternity. Warren Wiersbe said of this book, "Errol Holes is careful to balance biblical teaching and practical experience. In this day of excess and confusion, this kind of study is desperately needed. I believe that the author has been honest and gracious towards those who would not hold to his doctrinal position. I find it to be a balanced, wholesome, and satisfying treatment of the subject." And my longtime dear friend, Dr. Joel Beakey of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who was just recently my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon speaker, Dr. Beakey says, "The believer's experience presents a clear biblical treatment of the Christian experience and a helpful refutation of charismatic emphasis on experience. It is more needed today than when it was originally published. The chapters on experiencing justifying joy, adoptive love, patience in affliction, the baptism of the Spirit, and communion with Christ are an astounding treatment suitable both for beginners in grace and mature saints. Use Errol Holes' sterling expose of experiential religion to gain clarity about your own spiritual experience and to stimulate growth in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." And second of all, I'd like to highlight my dear friend Dr. James R. White's book that I think applies to our conversation, Pulpit Crimes, The Criminal Mishandling of God's Word, And to pat myself on the back, I came up with the concept, the title, and the cover artwork for this book. I didn't personally create the artwork as I did with his Dangerous Airwaves book, being an art major, but I did come up with the design of the cover. I just thought I'd brag about myself. But anyway, you could get both of these books from solid-ground-books.com, and please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you go to that website, ironsharpensironradio.com. Visit that site frequently and purchase generously. Before I return to my guests today, Holly Pivick and Doug Guyvett, as we continue the conversation on their book, Counterfeit Kingdom, I just want to remind you of a couple of important things. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote. In any case, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And we do need your help big time, folks. We've lost two advertisers who have been experiencing their own financial crisis. We hope that they aren't gone forever, but for now, we no longer have the benefit of their financial support. So we really need your help. Please help us replace that income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Finally, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, that are doctrinally sound. So please, no matter where in the world you live, if you are spiritually homeless, you do not have a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address to send in a question to Holly Pivick and Doug Guyvett. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And as I said before the break, we have Neville in La Vista, Nebraska, who has a question. I heard Chris Arnzen mention the subtitle of your book that involves the New Age movement. Could both of the authors say how this has become a problem within evangelical churches? And this time we'll start with Doug.
Yeah, hi, Neville. Thank you for that question. We have included that in our discussion in the book because so many of the practices that we see reflected, exercised in Bethel Church and other NAR churches, resembles more closely New Apostolic, New Age movement practices than anything that looks like a biblical practice. So, for example, they speak of activating people in the miraculous gifts. And some of the language itself is reminiscent of New Age practices where human beings can somehow, by various methodologies, even incantations, enable another person to exercise power of a spiritual sort. And so that kind of language itself is suspicious. But then the practices themselves include some very strange sort of antics. People can be invited in a group. They can be invited up to the front of the room, two people, and one can be blindfolded and asked to make prophetic utterances regarding the other person that they don't know anything about. And they're encouraged to do this as a matter of sort of learning by trial and error how to get things right and how then to become known as a reliable prophet. There are games that they play, like Prophetic Uno, where, as we describe in our book, they will use the different cards in a game of Uno to mean different things. And when you're playing this game, if you pull up a card of a certain sort, you'll be instructed to give a prophecy to someone in the who's playing the game with you, or to bless them in some other way. And we lay out for you what are some of the messages that are associated with different cards. This is all just gamesmanship. It's not a spiritual activity of a biblical sort at all. And then there are things like messages from the dead that prophets and apostles will receive. They'll receive these sometimes spontaneously while preaching to their congregations or as visiting guest lecturers at churches, and share messages that they have received on the spot from people who are deceased, people that are known to the congregation, maybe as a former pastor, will be regarded as revealing truths to them in the moment. This is like spiritualism or spiritism, where a medium seems to be involved. It's also bringing the dead to life in the minds and consciousnesses of the people, as if the individual who has passed is now present among them. And this is a form of necromancy, or arguably it is a form of necromancy, which is expressly prohibited in Scripture.
Contact with the dead.
Contact with the dead, yes. Contact with the dead. So receiving messages from the dead about things that matter pertain to an individual or to the life of a congregation or a church. So it's activities of this sort. In addition, there's the well-known practice of grave soaking, or grave sucking, as it sometimes is called, where individuals or groups of individuals will go to the gravesite of a famous Christian leader of the past who obviously was used by God to do great things, maybe led revival, maybe was a great Bible teacher, maybe was a very successful evangelist during his time or her time, and they would spread themselves out on or hug or cling to the headstone at the cemetery for this individual for the sake of receiving something like a covering or a blessing or energy that is transferred from that individual who had such a powerful ministry to those who are seeking to have similarly effective ministries today. And so that is using an object, an inanimate object that is only arbitrarily associated with the deceased person whose soul is no longer present in the cemetery or at the grave, to receive some kind of spiritual endowment and power, enablement. And so now this will sometimes be denied, and they will say that we don't do this. But we document in the book the records of this happening, even in cases where it has been explicitly denied. Maybe Holly thinks of other things that fit into this general category of the New Age practices in the church.
Yeah, thanks, Neville, for that question. We have an entire chapter in Counterfeit Kingdom about the New Age practices infiltrating the church through the NAR movement. It's called Hogwarts for Christians. And the reason we titled our chapter that is because the students enrolled at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry at Bethel Church in Redding, California, they actually have fondly referred to their school as Hogwarts for Christians. So basically you have people from around the world, especially young college age people, but even older people will enroll in this Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and they'll come from all around the world to attend and to learn to become miracle workers. And there's other schools of supernatural ministry that use the curriculum at Bethel School or that have developed their own curriculums. And these are being established at churches throughout the United States and around the world, where these schools are purporting to teach people how to raise the dead and heal the sick and to prophesy. The practices really resemble New Age practices. And so other ones Doug didn't mention, for example, that are have been promoted by NARA leaders are the spirit travel, which is the idea that a person's, you know, will stay in one location, but maybe their body or their body will be in one location, but their soul might travel to different time periods or different geographical locations. That's, you know, very similar to astral projection. There's something called destiny cards that have been used in this movement. And that's a lot like tarot cards, Christianized versions of tarot cards that are used for divination. But what happens is you'll have people in this movement, they'll go to like psychic fairs and they'll give what they call spirit readings. And they claim that they're giving prophetic words for the people who come to the tent. But the way they're doing this resembles a lot more of the practices of psychics when they use these like destiny cards. Also, interacting with angels. There are a lot of books and courses in this movement that teach people how to interact with angels, how to communicate with them. And one practice in this movement is the idea that people need to wake up sleeping angels. So Bill Johnson's wife, Benny Johnson, who passed away, she used to go around and bring groups of students and from Bethel Church, and they would blow shofars like ram's horns, and they would go to different locations and try to wake up angels they said that were sleeping, because they would say the angels haven't they're bored because people haven't been crying out for revival. So there are they also promote the idea that there's places in the world that are like have portals, which are places where angels will descend from heaven and interact with humans in these physical locations. And so they'll travel to locations they believe where these portals are, so they can have supernatural experiences and things like that. So there are a ton of New Age type occultic practices that are infiltrating churches. And in fact, many former New Agers, are very concerned about this because they would say, people like Doreen Virtue, people would say, you know, these were the things I used to practice as a New Ager, and now they're being promoted in the name of Christianity, and people that have left the New Age sadly are getting drawn back into the New Age under the guise of being Christian practices, and they're just being drawn right back in.
Yeah, and occasionally you'll hear leaders in the movement, gnarlies, if you will, say that, yes, there is a resemblance between these practices and those within the New Age movement, but we're simply redeeming practices that were stolen from the church by New Agers in the first place. So that's evidence that they feel like they cannot just flat out deny this strong family resemblance between the two kinds of practices.
By the way, I just wanted to plug the ministry of a very dear friend of mine, Jen Niza, since you have been mentioning New Age movement and necromancy. She is a former psychic astrologer, and she has been saved by the grace and mercy and blood of Jesus Christ, and is a faithful member of the church where I was formerly a member before I moved to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. And you can find out more about her ministry at xpsychicsaved.com. X, and that's spelled E-X, psychicsaved.com. And you can also look up her interviews on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio by typing in her last name in the search engine at ironsharpandzionradio.com. Niza, N-I-Z-Z-A. And this is some crazy stuff that you've been talking about, and my instinctive reaction was to laugh, and sometimes I feel guilty that I laugh at things like that because they're so satanic and they're actually deceiving a large number of people. I actually heard recently, I can't remember who this lunatic was, but some Pentecostal woman, I believe it may have been one of the videos where my friend Justin Peters was exposing some of the absolutely mind-boggling and insane satanic teachings of some of these folks. She actually said the Holy Spirit in her mind is the blue genie from the Aladdin cartoon. And we'll go back to Holly this time. I know that you do not know the minds and hearts of men like God, but do you have any guess from interaction that you've seen, or perhaps even have had personally, with these teachers as to whether or not they are conscious charlatans? They actually know what they are teaching is garbage that either they are making up or that they has been made up by their leaders, or are they just among the deceived who have grown to positions of leadership? I mean, I know that it's going to be a mixed bag, but do you have any idea in your mind what percentage you believe are just flat-out charlatans and those that are true believers?
Yeah, so, you know, this is actually one of the most common questions we're asked. We actually address it in the final chapter of our book, Counterfeit Kingdom. We say, you know, that we're often asked whether these apostles and prophets are intentionally lying to their followers, or do they really believe what they teach? And, you know, we say we're reluctant to assign motives to church leaders because, of course, God only knows their hearts. And the truth is, the damage really is the same, whether, you know, that they're intentionally, you know, deceiving, or whether these people are deceived themselves and they're just repeating, you know, the deception to other people and teaching it to them. So in a certain sense, it doesn't really matter what their motives are for teaching the things that they do. But that being said, we point out that both psychologies may be at work. And we cite 2 Timothy 3:12-13, where the young pastor Timothy was talking about talking about false teachers in the church, and he was warning Timothy. And Paul said, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." So notice that the false teachers are both deceiving others and simultaneously being deceived. So sometimes it's both and. And of course, you know, we know from Scripture, there are so many warnings throughout Scripture and from Jesus himself about false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. And we know that there are intentional deceivers in the church, and there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and which means that Jesus warned about these wolves in sheep's clothing who would pass themselves off as genuine Christians, but really they would be, you know, false teachers that are seeking to devour the flock. And so of course, there's always the reality that there will be just intentional deceivers and con men in the church. And, you know, there are con men just out there in the world. We know about, of course, doing all kinds of scams, you know, Nigerian scams and all kinds of cons out there. Well, in the same way, there are con men in the church that are just trying to make money and fleece people and gain followings, and they don't really believe what they're doing, of course. And others may just be sincerely deceived as well. And so it's just really important for people to stay in guard and stay vigilant, no matter what the motives of teachers are.
Anything to add there, Doug?
Yeah. You know, Jesus promised, it was a prophecy from the lips of Jesus himself, that this would happen, that leading up to the last days of earthly history before he returns, there would be this kind of deception. They would deceive with miracles, as you mentioned earlier, Chris. They would deceive in various other ways and seek, if possible, to deceive even the elect. This is a reference to those who've come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they're legitimate members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, that are vulnerable to these kinds of efforts to deceive. And I want to second what Holly said. It's if you're deceived, you may not be intentional in your deception of others, but you've let your guard down in other ways that make you culpable, and you are responsible for deception. And as Holly said, it doesn't really matter ultimately how we answer the question. Can I identify an individual as a charlatan? If I flinch from saying so, let me tell you, it's not because I wouldn't do it if I was sure. Let me tell you that I would still be happy to apply the label if I knew for sure that someone was acting as a deliberate charlatan. The only reason why I would hesitate to say that about a particular person that I don't know personally would be that we don't have the knowledge and wisdom that God does, except insofar as he reveals it to us in Scripture. And he's done that. He's done that by warning us about false teachers. And false teachers are people who express things as true that are false. They represent God in a false, fictitious, constructed way. And so that much we can be sure of. And that's what we need to be warned about. Now, another thing here is that if Jesus prophesied that there would be in the end times and in the last days individuals who would effectively turn the hearts of men and women away from the truth as if it was actually consistent with the gospel truth, then where will we find that if it's happening today? We should be looking for it, not waiting for it to spring up in our path in front of us and say, boo, you know, we've got to believe that Jesus was telling the truth there and that he knew what he was talking about. And as I think about it, I'm not really sure where else to look except in more obvious cases with cults and errant, heterodox and vile teachings outside the church for centuries. Then within the church, Jesus is talking about something that's going to grow up within the church, or else the elect would not be deceived. And Paul was constantly struggling to draw attention to deceivers in the church of his own day. This is what we're looking at. So if we really want to look for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in our day, we should be looking around and asking what may be going on. What are the marks of fulfillment of his prophecy under our noses here in our own churches? And then we see the empirical evidence of deception, practices that are occultic in nature, and then efforts to disguise and wear a cloak. There's a kind of secrecy involved. There's a refusal to respond to their critics as if that is a spiritual obligation that they have, which it is not. The Apostle Paul went to great pains to defend his apostleship. Think about the effort that he put into that and read the scriptures and see what he said. But today's apostles, though they want to be known as apostles and celebrated as apostles, do not seek to defend their apostleship. They shrink from doing that. And I believe it's because whatever grounds they believe they have for believing that they're apostles are not legitimate biblical grounds. And they would not be on solid ground in the way that the Apostle Paul was when he was challenged.
By the way, before I forget, I want to mention that Elisa Childers wrote the foreword to this book, Counterfeit Kingdom. And if anybody wants to hear my very recent interview, in fact, it was on August 8th, my interview with Elisa Childers and her co-author, Tim Barnett, of the book, The Deconstruction of Christianity, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in Elisa, A-L-I-S-A, A-L-I-S-A, and that interview will come up. So I just thought I'd give them a plug since she did write the foreword to this book. And let's see here. We have Loudon in Head of the Harbor, Long Island, New York. And Loudon says, you mentioned earlier that you believe in the possibility of people receiving the gift of speaking in other languages that they were never taught. Isn't this new revelation one of the very things you warn about? And perhaps we could start with Holly this time.
Doug was the one who who shared that comment, so maybe he would be best to respond.
Sure. Doug, go ahead.
Yeah, I suspect that he's referring to, or that person's referring to, something I said personally. Yeah. Well, look, I don't think that the scriptures associate the enablement to speak a message that you already understand, that you already have received, you already know, but in a language that you've never studied or learned, and you do it spontaneously. I don't think that's ever confused with prophecy or revelation received. So if I am an evangelist, for example, and there are times when I'm very overtly evangelistic, I do seek to persuade others of the truth of the gospel as I understand it. And I've done this for many years during my life, and I've done it always. I've always done it in a language that I could speak, whether it was English, which is my native tongue, or some other language that I've studied thoroughly. And I've never had the ability or have been enabled, miraculously enabled, to give that same message in some language that I haven't studied. And I don't think that just enablement to speak the language would count as special revelation from God. I think that when Peter, for example, when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, he fully understood his message. And I believe that he was preaching it as if it was all originating with him in sensitivity to the Spirit of God to preach the truth as he knew it. And what was miraculous there was that there were people who didn't understand his native language and the language that he was speaking, but they did understand what he was saying because they were enabled to hear it and understand it that way. Now, some people think that the miracle was in the hearing and not in the speaking, that it was recipients of the message who didn't understand Peter's own language who somehow heard what Peter was saying but interpreted for themselves in their own language. Others would say, no, it was a language that he spoke, and somehow they were all enabled to understand it. But it is called tongues in the chapter, and I think that's evidence that it's a tongue that Paul is speaking there. And so there's something miraculous about what Paul is doing, but it's specially endowed. It's not that he's receiving special revelation and then communicating it in a tongue. It's that he's communicating a message that he wanted to get across in a language that he hadn't spoken.
But Paul did receive new divine revelation in his day.
That's true. Yes, there's no question. Right. I'm not denying. Of course, I wouldn't deny that any of the authors of the New Testament,
right,
including Paul, who wrote so many epistles, 13 by most counts, was not a recipient of revelation. But they were apostles in the most dramatic and authoritative sense. And so you wouldn't need to be an apostle to speak in a tongue if God wanted to enable you to communicate to someone whose language you've never studied.
And it's something that probably could be a both issue. I don't want to take us far afield of our topic. The hearing and the speaking, because in Acts 2:6, it does say that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I don't know if that text necessitates this was a simultaneous thing from one speaker, or if it's just talking about the various apostles and disciples preaching in foreign languages that they did not already know. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I agree with you that in the absence of clear, conclusive exegetical evidence, we'd have to leave that as an open question. But it's certainly a possibility that it's a both and, and it might be more one than the other in some contexts. We aren't given a very detailed description of what tongues sounded like, and how it operated.
Well, if it was Italian, it was Italian. If it was Egyptian, it was Egyptian. If it was Greek, it was Greek.
Yes, but like you said, you know, suppose somebody was tuning in and they didn't speak English. They were tuning into this show today and they didn't speak English, but they somehow understood what we were saying. Well, I would imagine that would be because by the grace of God, they were meant to hear the message and understand it. And God used a human instrument to clarify that for them, even though the human instrument not only did not know the language that those people spoke, but didn't even know that those people were tuning in and listening and understanding it. There's nothing to preclude that from anything that I can tell about the nature of the tongue spoken in the New Testament.
By the way, Loudon, please give us your full mailing address in Head of the Harbor, Long Island, New York, because you have also won a free copy of Counterfeit Kingdom, compliments of our friends at B&H Publishing, and compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And always remember, folks, let us know if you're a first-time questioner, because on top of the book you will receive for free, you'll also get a free New American Standard Bible if you're a first-time questioner. And we have to go to our final break right now, and if you have a question of your own, send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Glendale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review. and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And don't forget, folks, this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco Associates and Associates that you heard about the law firm on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and that their friend Chris Arnzen told them to call you or visit your website today. And also, I want to remind our listeners that my former church, before moving to Long Island, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, is having their Courageous Marriage Conference on Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. And if you would like to register for this event, go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org, gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. They are featuring the keynote speaker, Dr. Joe Rigney, who is a best-selling author, and that's the Courageous Marriage Conference, Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th, at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. Go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org to register today. That's gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. And we're now back with my guest today, Holly Pivick, and Doug Guyvett. We are discussing Counterfeit Kingdom, their new book. And we have Kai, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, this city in Hawaii, Makaha, Hawaii. And Kai wants to know, is there any notable person who was delivered out of this heresy of the NAR movement?
Well, that's a good question about notable persons. We are acquainted with a number of individuals who not only have left the movement, but functioned as prophets. They believed that they were prophets. They were recognized as prophets by their superiors who operated and functioned as apostles. And they've since repented and left the movement altogether and believe now that they were false prophets. They would call themselves that. So I believe that those people qualify as notable individuals who've done it. Now, people who'd be recognized by name globally within the movement, I can't think of anybody who qualifies. I will say that we did participate in a conference not long ago that included an individual who had been a leader within the Bethel movement at Redding, California. And he left that movement and has become a critic of the movement. Also, an elder of the church at Bethel left the ministry there and has been interviewed, giving his testimony concerning his concerns about the movement as it was realized through the Bethel Church at Reading as well. So maybe not world-class names or world-renowned individuals, but certainly people of stature and significance whose testimony concerning these things has weight with me. Holly, can you think of others?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Kai. You know, we're contacted regularly by people who share how their eyes have been opened. They've left NAR. My own husband was part of NAR, and I share that. That was a big part of our story. Before we were married, he was part of the movement, and I share that in Counterfeit Kingdom. But Doug mentioned some people who used to be prophets in this movement. Don Hill has a podcast called The Lovesick Scribe. And Don is a former NAR prophet in this movement, and she talks a lot about that on her podcast. So that's one name who comes to mind. And she actually worked with some well-known influential leaders in this movement, including someone who's still an influential apostle and an apostle in this movement, I believe.
This is an important question about whether people are leaving the movement for a couple of reasons. For one thing, we know of one very high profile individual named Michael Brown, who in a roundtable that we did with him, it was a 3 hour, 3.5 hour roundtable, denied the existence of NAR, called it a myth. And we know that it's not, partly because it is the testimony of many who have left the movement, that it teaches exactly what we say in our books. So many have said the books are spot on, and that's, I think, because of the incredible effort we made to be fair and to document our materials, our claims. And they've said it not only is it fair and on point, but it is dangerous in the ways that we have warned people. And they've experienced the damage personally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. Some have said they've had to repent of the attitude they had towards religious authority, that they decried the value of other church experiences where their spirituality and their worship was dead and uninteresting and boring in comparison with the NAR form of worship. And they realized that that was wrong. And some have even told us that they've had to sort of consider the possibility that the Jesus they believed in is not the true Jesus. And their whole relationship with Jesus has been completely recalibrated as a result of studying scripture for themselves and in a determined way submitting to what it objectively teaches rather than what they were hearing from their NAR leaders. This is a great work of the Spirit of God. This is, I believe, the greater work that the church is doing in the world today, is helping shed light on the truth and proclaim the gospel and the message of liberation from all forms of slavery that's emotional and spiritual and physical in the world today. Jesus said, "Greater works than these that I have done will you do also." And we see the shackles released as people come to faith in Jesus Christ throughout the book of Acts. And so it is with this movement. It's an irony because in the movement, they believe that the greater works are just going to be miracles. And what people need is liberation in Jesus Christ from crippling, well, sin, yes, but also crippling teachings and expectations to perform a spiritual way, a way spiritually that is unsustainable and sometimes neurotic even. And that is the grace of God helping people find their way to freedom in Jesus Christ through the truth, the revelation of truth.
And Kai, you have won the last copy of Counterfeit Kingdom, thanks to our friends at B&H Publishing. Please make sure you give us your full mailing address in Makaha, Hawaii, and sorry for the mispronunciation if there is one. By the way, the old saying, you snooze, you lose, well, that goes to my friend Alex Wright in Goldenrod, Florida, who is the founder of VesselsForChrist.org. You sent in your question too late, brother. We're out of time. And I'd like to remind you of the websites of my guests, hollypivic.com. That's Holly, P-I-V as in victory, E-C.com. And also, DougGeivitt.wordpress.com, Doug, G-E-I, V as in victory, E-T-T.wordpress.com. I want to thank you both for being such absolutely extraordinary guests. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.